Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. And I'm standing up here on a very firm foundation. And that's what we're talking about today. It's a firm foundation for you and for your family. And for us as we are trusting in the name of our Lord, in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the topic today is creation is a key to the gospel. Now, this comes out of... In recent days, we live in amazing days where a lot of Christian leaders say that it's not important to go back to Genesis, but we are New Testament Christians. But in actual fact, Genesis talks about creation and a lot of events which are actually key to the whole gospel which we read in the New Testament. And so I was very pleased when we prayed in the Pastor Key's office before church, it was emphasized just how foundational creation is. And if you don't have a good foundation, then the building can't stand. So there, and to illustrate this, one of my colleagues in the United States went into the universities to interview some people. Are there any people here who are studying at the university at the moment? Anybody that's studying at the university? You don't want to admit it? You've got some young people who've gone out to their classes and they would be at high school. Is there anybody here who's at high school in here? Well, I went to high school once, but I've graduated. And so now I've got a job. I worked as an engineer for many years. And I ended up going back to study geology. And so I got a doctorate in engineering and studied geology. And so I understand a bit about rocks and foundations. And we've been out having a look at some of the rocks around Murray Bridge just yesterday afternoon. But these colleagues of mine went into universities and they wanted to interview students who had grown up in church. Just like your young ones that's going out to study, students who'd grown up in church. And this is, they produced a video. I think we might have them on the tables out there, but you can certainly access it from the web. And they wanted to ask students to explain why they left church when they went to university or why they stayed in church when they were at university. And they interviewed quite a lot of people. And a large proportion of people at university who grew up in church had left, no longer attended. And there's been surveys done which indicate that it's something like over 60% of young people who grow up in church leave church when they're in upper high school and at university. And so here's one person who was interviewed, a young man, fine-looking young man, and they asked them different questions. And they said, for example, do you believe in biblical creation or do you believe in evolution? And this guy said he believed in evolution, studying biology and various aspects of science at the university. He believes in evolution. And he said, when you were growing up in church, did you get answers to scientific evidence for how we can know that creation's true? And he said, oh, I don't remember we ever talked about that in church. And so he did not get any answers. And he said, then the next question was, so when you were, what about now? How are you travelling now? Are you still connected with church? You go to church? And he said, oh, no, not really joined in with any church since I've been at university. So he had no foundation. His faith collapsed. When it was tested, because he had not been equipped to deal with the issues which he was facing at university, the issue of creation and evolution, which one is true. And there are a lot of people that had dropped out, but here's one young lady, and there are a few who have persisted, and they asked her the same questions. Do you believe in creation or evolution? And she said, oh, creation, of course. And they said, did you get answers when you're growing up in church? Did anybody ever give you any talks or information about science and creation and evolution? She said, oh, yeah, we used to do that in youth group. We'd get that sometimes in the service. We would get information like that. It was good. And they said, well, what about now? Are you connected in with the church at the moment? And she said, oh, yeah, I go every Sunday. And so she's connected. So you see, creation is actually foundational to the gospel, and it's so important to be able to have our young people particularly, and parents to be equipped to be able to train our young people and to give them answers. She had already had a foundation, and so her faith stood firm. Now, the Word of God encourages us like this, doesn't it? I think of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Apostle Peter encourages us and he says, be ready always, always be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason for the hope that is in you, and do this with meekness and fear. So being ready means we have to be prepared beforehand, like those university students. They were prepared at church, they were prepared at home, they were prepared at youth group, so that when they got to face the fire, they had answers, they had a response. And so today I'm going to talk about this issue of creation as a foundation, as a key to the gospel. And I hope that this morning I can sort of alert, I'm not sure if you need alerting or not, but alert you of and warn you of some of the risks to your family. We love our families, don't we? And we care about them, and we want to see them flourish, and we want to see them do well. And we know that the foundation for doing well is to trust in the Lord and to honour him and to learn from his wisdom. And so that's, I want to warn that there's a battle going on and people are after your family. I want to show you just some little information about why creation is factual. And of course, we could talk for hours and hours and hours. We could do a whole series of sessions like you had at your Easter camp and go on, and it would not exhaust it. But we're just going to touch on a few things, and I want to be able to point you to where you can get more information. And I'm trusting that as we do that, it will give you confidence in the Word of God, that Word of God, which he has inspired, it will give confidence that we can trust it, we can believe it, and that we can stake our lives on it. And also today I want to just talk to you about the way, how you can be prepared, give you some ways, give you some practical ideas of how you can be prepared. You may never have thought of this before, but I want to alert you to say, hey, I need to do something about this. And, you know, I gave a talk at a youth group a number of months ago, and this was advertised in the church. And before I arrived at the church, quite a few days before, one of the mothers of the young people sent me an email. And she said, my son has got lots of questions. He's at the university and he comes home with all these questions and I don't know how to answer them. When you give the talk, will you be able to answer these questions for me? And you might have questions as well, but these are some of the questions that she talked about. This, she said in her email, she said, can you talk about natural selection and evolution? Doesn't natural selection prove evolution? That was one of the ones, and I answered it. And we've got information for you about natural selection and evolution. The answer is no, it doesn't. Natural selection and evolution are different. And what about chimp DNA, she said. Doesn't chimp DNA, isn't it almost the same as human DNA? Doesn't this prove that people came from apes? And the answer is no, it's not similar. And it doesn't prove that at all. And I was able to answer that for her. And I can point you today to where you can find answers to these sorts of questions. And another one was, doesn't quantum physics prove the Big Bang? Isn't that how it works? Have you heard of the questions like this? And the answer is no, it doesn't prove the Big Bang. And another one, a really big question, really big issue that she asked about, are dating methods reliable? You know, we get these dates Are these radioactive dates and 500 million years plus or minus 2 million years? And aren't they reliable? And the answer is no. And we'll touch on that today. And particularly after lunch, I'll talk a little bit about dating methods and how we know the age of the Earth. And another question that came up is, isn't Genesis poetry? You know, and the idea being, if it's poetry, it must be wrong, can't be true. But, you know, there are quite a lot of poems in the Bible which report true events. And anyway, Genesis is not poetry. You can tell from the structure of the way the text is that it's indeed just, it's narrative, historical narrative. And so these are questions which we could spend a long time talking about them. And these were questions which bothered her son. And she was concerned about her son and she wanted answers. And so I was able to help her and give her answers. And that's what Creation Ministry is about. And you might be thinking, where can you get answers to it? And Creation Ministries, the whole purpose of Creation Ministries is to provide for you where you can get credible answers. Answers that are believable and that are soundly based to the challenges against the Word of God in our culture, which come from every direction. Everywhere you go, you see it, and it creates this uncertainty, this uneasiness in our lives. And so, and one of the ways we can do this, and it's actually a free way you can do it, and it's very simple, is that we provide a free email alert system. It comes out every couple of weeks, and it just gets delivered to you through your inbox. And it gives you information about the sort of things that are being talked about in the media and in the world and in scientific space, and how you can get answers to that. And this email newsletter looks something like that. And this is something that that you're probably thinking, I'd like to get connected to this. And so there's a sheet of paper like this, which will be over where you get lunch. And I'd encourage you, before you get your lunch, to fill this out. Put your email address on it, and it will be a way of you getting equipped, and it just is a painless, effortless way of keeping up to date. Things you've probably never thought about before, but which impact your family and impact your grandchildren. And so make sure that you fill that out. But another way, so that's free. And it's for you personally. And so do that. And then another way is through the website. Now, the website's got lots of material on here. And I'm sorry about this, but it's a really tough name. If you want to find out about creation, where would you go? Creation.com. That was sort of a joke. It was trying to be a joke. But it's a dad joke. You know what dad jokes are like. Not very good. Anyway, I'm famous for dad jokes and my grandkids roll their eyes. But creation.com is where you would go. And so you can put this lady, I encouraged her to go to this website. And I say, just type in, does natural selection prove evolution? Type it in there and it will come up with articles and videos where you'll become informed, you'll become educated. Is chimp DNA similar to human DNA? Just type that in the box there and you'll be able to find out. So if you can remember something, and I am so encouraged and so impressed at the way you're learning memory verses from the Bible. And what does it say? Something about thankful always. So I'm sorry I didn't remember that. But anyway, you guys will have to memorize that. But creation.com is where you can understand and get information. Don't forget that. Now, we're talking about creation is a key to the gospel. And so it's the gospel is what transforms us. Once we hear the gospel and believe the gospel, it's a transformation, isn't it, what the Lord Jesus Christ does in our lives. And so a lot depends on what we believe, what we think in our minds. And what we think is really, there's a word for it in sort of technical terms, they call it a worldview. You know, and the Bible talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a renewing of the mind. And so it's a little bit like this. And I don't know what sort of a mind you've got. I can't tell here looking at you. You look very attractive. You've got smiles on your faces, sitting up alert. But what's in your mind is hidden until you start talking. And as I talk to you, I'll find out a little bit about what you think. But, you know, you can look at things through an evolutionary mindset. And it's not hard to do that because that's our whole culture, is that. Everywhere you go, you pick up that. You watch the TV, it's an evolutionary mindset. You go to the museum, your children open their textbooks. You go to university, and you open the magazine. So wherever you go, almost everywhere in our culture, it's an evolutionary mindset. And then we have this other way of looking at it. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a Bible mindset, isn't it? And that's why you're learning Bible verses. And it's not just Bible verses. It's a whole Bible, you know, the Bible story, the Bible sequence, the Bible events, the things of what Jesus did. Born of a virgin, you know, and he went around doing good and he did miracles and he was arrested and he died for our sins. So there's these events which happen. And so we use the Bible, the events in the Bible, to be able to understand the world, and it changes the way we think. So creation is a key to the gospel. Why? Why is it key? Why is it foundation? It provides the foundation. It tells us the beginning of the story, how it all began, and why it's like the way it is. It tells us the gospel of Jesus starts with creation, sets the scene. So, I mean, there's so many places in the New Testament where I could go and where you could go. But here's a place here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, starts with creation and Jesus, same as John 1 does. For by him, Jesus, by Jesus, all things were created. All things. Didn't say some things, a few things. All things were created by him. And then it goes and describes what the all things are. Things that are in heaven and that are in earth. That's everything, isn't it? Things in heaven and on earth, that's everything. And then it goes to say whether they are visible and invisible or invisible. There you go again. That's everything, visible and invisible. What else can you have? And whether they be thrones or dominions, those things which rule over the earth, principalities or powers, the various things that we face in our lives, all things were created by him. And that includes me. That includes you. All things were created by him. You're special. I'm special. God thought about you. He thought about me as he created us. And he created us for him. And so it starts with creation. And we think about creation, and we read in Genesis chapter 1, right at the very beginning, it talks about the creation. And here we have a little diagram here which sets out, we could read the whole scripture, but it's in a picture here. And it shows how God created in 6 days. Now immediately people say, roll their eyes and say, you're kidding me. He did it in 6 days. You know, that's ridiculous. But then you say, well, was it too hard for him? Was it too big a job? It's not too big, was it? Why did he take so long? He could have done it in 6 minutes. And so you see, there's no problem. What Genesis reveals is just how amazing God is. Just how amazing God is. And I think of a father that came to Jesus and he said, if you can do something, please help me. And Jesus said, if you can, he said, all things are possible with God. So whatever your problem is, it's not too big for God. You know, the big issue is how much we believe God can do. And so God created in 6 days different things on different days. And we read there, for example, when God created the heavens and the earth, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then on day 3, it says that God said, let the waters be gathered together into one place. You know, isn't it amazing when you know what our kids are learning at school and what they're learning when they study geology what we hear on the television and all that sort of thing is that the earth initially was a great big molten ball of rock, but it was all molten, like full of lava. And this was 4 billion years ago that this was like this. And then it had to cool down and there was no water. And it's this story that goes on. But the Bible says, no, originally it was covered by water. God created a world which people lived on. It was not a molten blob. And so then on day three, God said, let the waters be gathered together into one place. And it was so. So it was pretty cool, wasn't it? And then God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation. And all the amazing trees that were created, there were trees which they had fruit on the trees. There was fruit on them. Isn't that incredible? And not only that, but in the fruit, there was a seed. And you plant the seed and you get another tree. And it was all there at the beginning. What came first, the tree or the seed? It had to come all at the same time. Isn't that incredible? What came first, the chicken or the egg? And also it was the chicken with the egg inside it. And so we see how God created that. And then we see different things. The land animals on day six, the animals that live in the ocean on day five, and the ones that fly in the sky. And I like to play with the children. I better not get too distracted here, but I like to play with the children, and I'll say something like, so when did kangaroos first appear on the earth? And so some kid will put up his hand. I say, yeah, and he'll say, day six. I said, day six? The Bible doesn't even talk about kangaroos. Where do you get the idea that kangaroos were on day six? And eventually they say, oh, it's a land animal. That's right, isn't it? It was a land animal. And you see, all the land animals are on day six. So even though it doesn't mention them, all the land animals were on day six. And then I'll go on a little bit, and then eventually I'll say, so when did the dinosaurs first appear on the earth? And they come up the same thing, day six, because dinosaurs are land animal. And then, so I'll then say, so what else happened on day six? What else appeared? And they'll say, people. People, is that right, on day six? I said, that's right, people appeared on day six. So I said, that means that people and dinosaurs lived at the same time. You should see their faces. They've been taught that dinosaurs died out millions of years before people came on the earth. Have you heard of that? You might think that yourself. You might think that's a bit strange, dinosaurs and people. We've actually got a brochure here. We've got some free brochures over there for you. Dinosaurs, did they die out 65 million years ago? And this is really mind-blowing for people. It's got actually evidence in there that dinosaurs didn't die out 65 million years ago and that people and dinosaurs lived at the same time. Did you know that? Just like the Bible says. And so I go into that, and that's I have a lot of fun with kids, poor kids. Anyway, there you go. And so people on day six, and we read there that God said, let us make man in our image. And that's very special. He didn't sort of say, oh, I like that one that I made. I'll do a bit more work on that, and I'll turn it into man. He didn't do that. He took the dust of the earth and he fashioned the man. And the man became a living soul. And we got here that the man, you could go into this so much, but I'm not going to go too much into it in detail. But it's amazing. It's amazing what God did. It's absolutely incredible. But here's the man. He's naming the animals. And you sort of think that's a funny thing to do. And it says that whatever name that the man gave the animal, that was its name. He didn't give it a name, and God said, oh, no, that's no good. We won't use that one. And God overruled him. The man was given the authority to rule over the earth, and the first thing he did in ruling was to name the animals. And that's what parents do, don't they? My mother gave me my name. I was born in Hobart, and so she called me Tasman. I'm glad I wasn't born in Queensland, but there you go. And so, but they have the authority to name. And so the man has the authority to rule over the earth. And you too, God gave you the authority as people that he's created to rule and to bring his kingdom into you, where you are. And that's why he's called you. Isn't that incredible? And so, anyway... there's a guy called Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm going to sort of switch a little bit. to the issue of creation and what the world thinks about it a little bit. But this guy, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's an astrophysicist. Has anybody ever heard of this guy? A few people have. He's a very handsome fellow. He speaks very well and he's on TV and so he's very influential. And he's often asked about whether, do you believe in God? Do you believe in... And he... So we want to know, people that we like, and influential people, we want to know what they believe. Do you believe in God? We would like to say, yeah, I do believe in God, and encourage us. But Neil deGrasse Tyson says, you know, well, every account of a higher power that I've ever read, he said, always talks about how this power is benevolent, how he's kind. He says, but when I, as an astrophysicist, look around at the world, he said, I don't see any evidence of benevolence in the world, in our universe. And he talks about things like tsunamis and earthquakes, and he talks about cyclones and volcanoes and all that sort of thing. He said, and I look at all the way the universe is trying to kill us, he says, I don't see any evidence of a benevolent sort of power behind it. So in other words, I don't believe in God because... And the question is, if God is good, why in the world are there so many bad things in the world? Is he really good? Or just doesn't he have any power? Or doesn't he exist? Is that the question? I wonder if anybody here has been asked that question about that. But you know what? If I would love to meet Neil deGrasse Tyson one day. But I would say, Neil, you're wearing the wrong glasses. Those glasses that I had, you're looking at the world through evolutionary eyes. And it doesn't make sense when you look at it through evolutionary eyes. You've got to put on Bible glasses. That's how to make sense of God and the world that he created. And so I would sort of just talk about that. And I'd say, you know, in the beginning, God created a good world. When he finished all that he'd made in his vast array, he looked at it and he said, behold, it is very good. Didn't say it was good, but very good. And so, but what happened was, first man, the first woman, this is a cartoon. Some people don't like me using cartoons because it makes it look a bit cheap, but I don't know how to illustrate it. This is how it comes out of a kid's book. But the first man and the first woman were tempted by the evil one to disobey the Creator, and they took the fruit they were commanded not to take. And as a consequence of that, we now live in a broken world. We live in a painful world. It's a beautiful world, but it's not very easy always to live in it, with sickness and fights and things like that and war. But it's a consequence of sin. And so Neil, that's why you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for our sin, for your sin. Do you see how the gospel comes out of that one? And we read there in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death was not there at the beginning. There was no death at the beginning. There were no animals killing one another. And it says death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And as we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, it says here, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And that's why it's key to the gospel, to know, understand what happened in the past, what happened that the world is like it is, and it's because of sin. And so the challenge against God that Neil deGrasse Tyson brought, he brought a challenge about why he doesn't believe in God, and his challenge actually leads to the gospel. When you're informed, when we have our minds renewed, when we are prepared, and it's not difficult, we can answer it. Now, as I'm talking to you, I'm sure a lot, you would be saying, yeah, I know all that. I know all that. Of course I believe that that's true. But how can we accept the Bible and go against science? You might be thinking that. How can we go against science? You know, science is about facts. And so I'll talk just a touch on science, but I'll talk more this afternoon about science, the rocks, the fossils, and the age of the earth. But I use this little illustration to illustrate about science. And I've used this sort of things when I've talked to my grandkids. My grandkids go through high school. They went through a normal government high school. And they encountered this a lot in their high school years. And they would sometimes come home quite distressed because they appreciate the teachers, but they're hearing this stuff which goes against the Bible. And they'd hear new facts, things they'd never heard before. And they just didn't know what to do, didn't know how to answer it. And so I'd often sort of give this illustration, this sort of thing. I'd often sort of talk about like a guy who's a paleontologist. He's digging up dinosaur bones, right? You see the dinosaur bone there? And it illustrates science because, you see, this dinosaur bone, that is the evidence. Science is based on evidence. There's an atheist, I don't know if you've heard of Richard Dawkins, but a lot of atheists, if you talk to an atheist, they will say things like, I believe in evidence. I don't go with faith, which is not based on evidence, which is wrong, but I go with evidence. Well, this is the evidence, right? The evidence, this is what they say. And so it can throw you for a six when they say these sorts of things, unless you know this. But the thing is, when you dig up a bone, it doesn't have a label on it, which says, I'm 70 million years old. It doesn't have the label. Basically, you dig up the bone. You can measure the bone. You can analyse it. You can do all sorts of things. Science. Science. I don't reject science. But this guy here, that is an interpretation. 70 million years. Where did he get that from? There was no date on it. It comes out of his beliefs. It's his worldview, the way he's looking at the world. That's where it comes from. And so we don't believe that. We look at the world a different way. We start with what is true. What is true? We start with what is true, don't we? That's what we start with. And so based on that truth, we then interpret the world in a different way. So how can we work out what is fact? I always tell my kids, and I don't think I've got a thing here, but I always tell my grandkids, just ask yourself, what did they actually see? That's all you ask yourself. I believe everything that evolutionists discover and everything that they measure and everything they observe and everything, I believe all that. I just don't believe the stories that they tell. And so I'm liberated. I don't have to believe their stories. I believe the facts. And so so that's what I tell my kids. And that. So here's an example of the sort of things that our kids face. If no one saw it happen, then it's not. You don't believe it unless it fits in with the evidence. This is Australian science curriculum. Now, I asked who's going to high school and who's going to university, and nobody owned up, which is fine. But this is the sort of thing, Year 10, Oxford University Press, about science. And part of the course, the kids have to learn about where they came from. Where did I come from? And that's a question that kids are always asking. Where did I come from? What am I here? They're wrestling with their identity, aren't they, at that age? And so here's the science, and it says here, it's talked about evolution, the rise of the bipedal ape. So if the kid says, so what am I? What's my role? And the teacher says, you're a bipedal ape. Isn't that going to give them a lot of purpose in life? Isn't it really incredible? And so this has got some pictures here. See, it's not just a story. They've got pictures of what it looked like. There's somebody's very good at Photoshop, eh, to be able to make pictures like that. That's just propaganda. And I talked about the risks that our families are facing. This is what they're facing. This is pretty obvious. But it comes from a respected source. People trust the Oxford University. They trust the science textbooks. And yet it's a propaganda vehicle which is being used against them, trying to capture them. And the Bible says, take heed that you're not taken captive by a deceptive philosophy and an evil philosophy. Take heed. There's an enemy out to capture you, just like Adam and Eve were captured. And I won't go into it in great detail. It's wrong. See, we start with the Bible. Did God create people from apes? No. So we know it's wrong. Isn't that incredible? They say, oh, you believe on faith. No, I believe on something that's true. And this is what's faith. If you have a look at it, they put up this evidence. You know, and you've got this thing. And again, kids encounter this, and it's if they've not seen it before, and I hesitate to put it up for you so that it doesn't get you in the face too much, but it's a very powerful image of an apes evolving into people. But when you look at it, and I'm not going into detail in it, you go to creation.com and you'll find every one of these will be discussed on creation.com. So anybody that has to do this for high school or university can get information there, answers to the questions that they'll have. But it's really deceptive. It's that's two apes, you know, and we won't go into the details. And these are three humans. So they've got a picture there with a variety of apes and a variety of humans. And then there's one in the middle, which is Homo habilis, and it's widely regarded as an invalid taxon. They collected some fossils from here and some fossils from there, and they put them in a basket and gave it a name. And no wonder it's intermediate, because they mixed up the fossils. Do you see how that works? And this is just not in the open. It's not transparent. They don't tell the kids this. The kids just have no idea, and the teachers often have no idea either. And so I love doing this, putting a big X through it, because that's what it is. It's not true. It's not true. It doesn't make sense, but this has a huge impact on kids. And we see one of the biggest issues today with kids is anxiety and depression. Did you know that? The rise in anxiety in young people today. And there's a little cartoon about it here. It says, your science class went for ages. You look a little bit down. What happened? Well, today the teacher said that we're just accidents, highly evolved apes. And, that's told her about evolution. And then it goes on to say, so what are you going to be learning in your next class? Self-esteem. Self-esteem. That's what they're teaching. And so you see how that works? You see how that works? And hopefully this is sort of giving a bit of a bigger picture to what is happening in our world and the forces that are at work. But by contrast, here's a guy here. His name is Matthew Shaw. So he made this comment on Creation Ministries Facebook page. And they're talking about stuff. And he says, I'm a year 12 student. And I've been reading creation stuff for years. See, that's the important thing, is to get creation stuff into your home. I talked about the email news. I'll talk about the magazine later on. That's how if you get it into your home, it impacts the kids. They read it. And he says, I've been reading it for years. And he says, it's a lot of fun. He enjoys reading it. And it is, because this is the questions that the young people are interested in. And he says, I'm actually finding that I'm acing year 12 science. Actually, biology. I'm acing biology in my science. And he said, better than all the other students, you know. And he says, and specifically evolution. We're learning about evolution in class, and I'm sort of doing really well in it. He says, I seem to know more about it than my teachers. Isn't that incredible? And you know what? That's because teachers are not taught some of these very simple facts when they go through the university. You know, we've got a brochure here. There's one on the table called, Do You Know the Difference Between Natural Selection and Evolution? We talked about that, and that was one of the questions that lady asked, wasn't it? And so once you understand that, man, it makes a big difference. And so there's another diagram. This is the museum in Brisbane. This is an amazing dinosaur fossil. It's on display. Look how tall it is. Very big animal. And they found it at a town called Mutterborough, just near there. Now, I ask often, I didn't used to do this, but I ask, has anybody here been to Mutterborough? Nobody. That's all right. That's what I expect. But I have been surprised to find how many people, when I ask that question, put their hands up and say, yeah, I've been to Mutterborough. You've never heard of Mutterborough, many of you. But Mutterborough is where they found the dinosaur, and they called it a Mutterborosaurus. Do you like that? Mutterborosaurus. And you look at it, it's got there 100 million years ago. And I often ask the kids about it and what they notice. And I say, look, tell you what I noticed. I noticed that the dinosaur is dead. Did you notice the dinosaur is dead? So death has been around for 100 million years, according to what we're told. That's what we're told. That's the message that's there. And it's not just in the museum, it's everywhere, millions and millions of years. And this dinosaur, it's actually got, not this one, but dinosaurs have got cancer tumours in their spine. They discovered that. And so that means that cancer and death and suffering and disease has been around for millions of years. That's a big issue, isn't it? It goes so contrary to the Word of God. It undermines the gospel. You know, if death has been around for millions of years, why did Jesus have to die? And if suffering and disease has been around for so long, where did it come from? If God is good, why is there death and suffering? But the thing is, that's the idea of evolution, death and suffering over millions of years. But the Bible tells us in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It tells us that just as sin ended by a man and death by sin. Adam was the man, and so that it came through. And so the Bible tells us it's the other way around. Death came as a consequence of Adam's sin. So I'm just going to very quickly just touch on how we can sort of fit this together, because that's the issue, is how do we explain these fossils, these dead things, 100 million years old? Well, they're not 100 million years old. And the thing that explains them is an event that the Bible describes in Genesis chapter 6, 7 and 8. And the event is called Noah's flood, right? And I put up a picture of the ark so that people can see that it's big. This is a model of it. And 140 metres long, longer than a football field. You've got a lot of football here in Adelaide just at the moment, aren't you? Well, it's longer than a football field. It had three decks, a bottom deck, a second deck, a third deck, big boat, and had a capacity of 15,000 tonnes, very, very large. So I just put that up so that you can see that, yeah, I can see that that would work. And so the animals went on, two of every kind of animal, including the dinosaurs, and then the fountains of the deep broke open. The door had been shut, of course. The ark lifted up. The waters rose and they continued to rise until every high mountain under the entire heavens was covered. And then the water just started to go down and the ark came to rest on mountains of Ararat. And there's questions that come out of this. Where did all the water come from? Where did all the water go to? We'll talk about that at 1 o'clock. This afternoon. And then the Bible tells us that everything that had the breath of life in it perished. Tragedy. And what we're seeing is the evidence of that. This dinosaur is not 100 million years ago. It is buried in Noah's flood. And there's reasons, which I'll talk about this afternoon, about, you know, evidence as to why that makes sense. And then we'll also talk about the dating that's there, millions of years. But the dating is sort of fits in with what we observe, like this people, they've got this plesiosaur, farmer discovered it. Can you see that? Did you know what paleontologists look like? That's what they look like. They're two paleontologists from the museum. And they're digging it out and they said there must have been some sort of a catastrophe here. A catastrophe happens, boom, doesn't it? Quick. And so that's how the millions of years disappear. The Noah's flood washes away the millions of years, and that was discovered up there in Queensland. And you know, they even discovered the bones in its flipper preserved. And so we see there's lots of evidence, which we'll talk about some of that this afternoon. But then there are other issues. Now, I just mentioned a few. That lady had a whole list of problems, and there's other problems that come up. And you might have some. One of the issues is, but you know, there's things, we know things take millions of years to form, like these diamonds. They take millions of years. Well, no, they don't. There's actually a company that's in the United States called Gemesis. They make diamonds. Takes them 4 days. They put them in this machine, put it under pressure, and that's some carbon in there, and after 4 days, out comes a diamond. And so it doesn't take long to make them today, and it didn't take long to make them in the past, under the conditions that were around at Noah's flood. So creation, key to the gospel, and how does it impact you? I hope that you've caught some idea of that it's an issue that you, as being involved in your family, need to become aware of what's going on. When my kid was growing up, I was very strong on him about walking on the road. That was pretty, so I gave him some beating sometime because he went on the road. But he, after one or two, he never went on the road again, and he's still alive today. That's how important it is. So the risks to your family. I hope I've shown some ideas as to how we can see that creation is factual. And that's so you've got confidence in the Word of God, what you learn in church. You know, it's not something you have to put your mind away when you come to church and not think anymore. It gives you confidence that the Word of God is true. And I hope I've given you some ways in which you can get prepared. I've mentioned a couple of others. This one here, Creation Magazine. You might be thinking, well, I want something that's easy. I want something that's going to be effective and something that my family's going to like. So that would be this one here, the magazine. Part of the reason why it's so effective is it's so easy to read. So the kids like the pictures and they can read it. And we get just ordinary people to read it to make sure they can understand it. And the other reason why it's really helpful, like that kid that I showed you, is it comes out every 3 months. And so they finish one, and it sort of gets all dog-eared and that, and gets chucked to one side. And then in 3 months, another one comes out, brand new, and they start reading it again. And so that's why this is such a helpful thing to have in your home. And so I'd encourage you to think, well, you can get it. I don't have to encourage you. You know that it's going to be helpful. And so there's these forms out on there. You just fill out here your name and address, and you can get Creation Magazine. Now, if you subscribe for a year today, we'll give you just a little encouragement. We'll give you a free back issue. You can take it home and for your family straight away. 3 years, we'll give you one of those as well. Plus, there's a voucher, $15 voucher. So you can get $15 for any books to the value of $15 free off the desk that's there. So that's how you can protect your kids. Now, the big thing is you're thinking, yeah, that's good. I think I need to get that. And by the time you get to the lunchroom, you've forgotten. So we'll have some of our guys with the little boards, and they'll have these around, and they'll remind you. You'll be able to see them and be reminded, yes, I need to do that. We mustn't forget to do what we need to do. So there's that, and there's a thing to fill in, and that. But you might be thinking, well, that's good, but is there anything that I could get just in one book, simple book, which would be able to sort of cover most of the things I need to know? Well, that would be it, the Answers book. That would be a way of doing it. And so you might say, yeah, that's all right. A little bit, I'd like something a bit more detail. Yeah, well, there's the Evolution's Achilles Heels. That's something which is written by 9 PhD scientists, that one, and that covers a lot of stuff. You might be thinking, well, my son loves rocks. He loves exploring. Has he got anything for him? But he's only 9, he's only 10. And there is, that's called this one here, Exploring Geology with Mr. Him. And your son, or any of your family, would love that one, even dads like that. And you might be thinking, well, I'm studying theology at college. Have you got anything that would be a sort of a good reference book for that? Well, there is. There's a commentary. Whoopsie-daisy, did you come here? There's a commentary on Genesis 1 to 11. It's a scientific commentary and a theological commentary. And there are people that get this, and they found it so helpful. We sent... in Canada, our guys sent one of these to every pastor in Canada, and there have been so much good news come in. Now, I know you remember this. The address is creation.com, and so if you remember that, you're being prepared. You're on the way. You're on the go. But you haven't done this yet. You haven't subscribed to the email news. There it is. But that's what you can do before you have lunch. And that way, you'll be doing what the Apostle Peter said. You will be doing this. You will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. But do it with meekness and with fear. So it's been great to share with you today. I pray that's been a blessing.